It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
So Rafael Nadal crashes out in Barcelona in the second round. Will he be ready? Come Roland Garros to compete at the very highest level. Only time will tell. And Stefanos Tsitsipas, now three-time Monte Carlo Masters champion. An incredible performance and a resurgence from Stefanos. I can't wait to see if he will be competing come Roland Garros too. And now, Raducanu back on our screens, back winning matches. Could she have a shot at the next Grand Slam? And clay courts. Why is there no technology yet? There's been a lot of uproar in Monte Carlo.
Novak Djokovic has won the Australian Open. 35 matches unbeaten. He's done it. Carlos Alcaraz. Djokovic has won Wimbledon. He wins his 14th Roland Garros title.
Hey, welcome back, tennis fans. Another episode of The Countdown. And this one, I'm just going to bring to you. Unfortunately, JG unable to make this one, but hopefully he is doing all right. And he'll be back for the next one, no worries. But this episode, I've got to speak about it, and it is the return of Rafael Nadal. Let's just get stuck into it straight away. Make sure you've hit a like and subscribe if you haven't done so yet. But let's talk about it. It was the match that everybody, even myself, was hyping up, maybe a bit too much. We weren't really sure where Rafa's level was going to be at based upon his match against Flavio Caboli. And yeah, I mean, looking at the match against Dimonor, we got to find out where he actually was. I think credit to Alex Dimonor. He's having a fantastic time of his career right now. And I think the stars aligned to play Rafa at the best possible time for him. He's a top 10 player now and playing like a top 10 player. Despite Rafa trying to bully him around the court, Alex Dimonor hit some winners off of shots that didn't even deserve to come back, to be honest. So full credit. I'm not going to take anything away from Alex Dimonor for his performance, but I think he even knows deep down if this was the Rafa of old, then he would not have got the victory. But yeah, let me know your thoughts about Rafa's performance. I still think there's a long way to go. Let's have a look at this quote that was taken from him after the match, and he said, "I will try to take another step forward in Madrid, then in Rome. And if in a tournament it is worth going out there to give everything and die for it, then it is Paris." So we know his intentions. I mean, it's nice to see him lay it out there. We know these are just warm-up tournaments. We know that he's not going to be at his full level. We're just trying to gauge what level he is at. And at the moment, I think they're encouraging signs. That's my personal opinion. I think that the way he played against Caboli, he should dispatch somebody. That lack of experience from Caboli, playing Rafa for the first time. Alex de Minaur, on the other hand, he's a very, very good player. He's right at the top of his game at the moment. I wouldn't say he's a great clay court player, but I definitely would say he's better than a lot of other players on the tour, and he's a top 10 player, and he's getting better. And I think the clay could be a surface that he could get even better at, I think, in years to come. He's still so young, Alex de Minaur, so you just got to look to the future for him. I think that this is a good sign. If you see how he gets on in this Barcelona tournament, there might be a sign of good things to come for Alex de Minaur. But it's not really the spotlight that was on him. I think there was a lot of people expecting him to have a good result. I wasn't one of them. I thought he was still unproven for me on clay based upon his past performances. But Rafa, obviously, unproven on his comeback. So difficult to really pick. It was like you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. But we've got some more quotes here from Rafael Nadal. So let's hear what he had to say. So he said, I'm leaving convinced that I've taken a step forward. He said, it was not today where I had to be well, where I had to leave everything and die for it. I have to give myself the option to do this in a few weeks, at least try. If I had died at a general level today, I would never have the opportunity to do so in a few weeks. So I have to play according to the objective I have. I have to measure according to how I feel. So I'll play Madrid according to this factor. If my body responds and I accumulate good training, I'll be able to take a step forward in Madrid. If my body is capable of assimilating the loads progressively, that has to help me demand more and more from it. But I don't know. On a logical level, the idea is to progress. But I'm not talking about winning games, but rather at the level of fighting for things. In Madrid, do a little better. In Rome, a little more. And in Paris, let it be whatever God wants. That's the time to try it. Yeah, this is a much more elongated version of the one that we just read out. And I like the way that he's gone through this step by step, really. He's just telling everybody exactly how he's feeling right now. And I think it's like an emotional roller coaster for Rafa fans right now, not knowing where the end is or when the end is, or it's all up in the air, and it's all just down to his body. And I was saying it earlier on today, I'm not that bothered that he lost to Alex de Minaur, because I don't feel that you should be giving everything on that court in Barcelona just if you're just getting ready for Roland Garros. Because if he pulls a muscle or does something much worse in this preparation for Roland Garros, then what was the whole point of the whole thing? He needs to get on there, get some, I don't know, match play experience again, I feel, just back on the clay. And just playing against someone like a de Minaur gets to know, like, that's the top 10 level right now. I mean, obviously Rafa's like miles down the rankings at the moment, so it's going to be a nightmare if he comes into Roland Garros very low in the rankings, and he's going to be a nightmare first round for anybody. Like, it's just like everybody's going to want to avoid him. But I'm looking forward to seeing what happens in Madrid, and definitely what happens in Rome, because if he manages to pick up another win, I think that'd be a real positive. No injuries, even bigger positive. And then if we move on into Rome, I can't wait, really. I mean, I think that if he's firing on all cylinders, three out of six cylinders, let's say, then even if he gets to like four cylinders by Roland Garros, I think four would be enough. Maybe even three for the first round. Maybe two. And then the level may start just to come back step by step. I mean, hopefully he gets an easy, like a qualifier or something in the first round. You never know what could happen. Might get Djokovic. You don't know. Might get Alcaraz. Might get someone like Tsitsipas. Who knows? But we can only hope that he has a great final Roland Garros, and because it is supposed to be his final one. Let me know your thoughts about Rafa in that comment section. I want to hear what you all have to say about it. It's one of those end of career moments. I feel like this year is such a significant year and I want to see him go out with a bang. I know I've been hard on him, I've been harsh on him in the past. Do support Djokovic pretty often, especially when they meet. It doesn't mean I don't love Rafa and I don't want to see him do well. And especially if it is his last year, I want to see the best Rafa has to offer just one more time. But going over to Alex de Minaur, and he's become the first Australian to beat Rafa on clay. He said, this is what they said to him. I think you could be the most unpopular person in Barcelona. Are you okay with that? He said, I can say I'm very, very fortunate. I didn't play Rafa a couple of years earlier on clay. It would have been a very, very different result. Yeah, I mean, he's at no illusions. He applauded Rafa off of the court as well. Most likely his last ever Barcelona tournament. 12-time champion. Doesn't need to do any more there. But Alex de Minaur, looking forward to seeing what he's going to produce in this tournament. Will Alex de Minaur be able to go on and win the whole thing? That's a big question. I mean, he's playing Arthur Fies in that next round. Could have a matchup against Dusan Lajovic or Fokina in a quarterfinal. But he is on the side of the draw of Stefanos Tsitsipas. And Tsitsipas, I think he's the favourite for the whole thing. You'd have to say Alex de Minaur, though, if he was to get through. You've got Casper Ruud in there as well, but I still feel the favourite's got to be Tsitsipas. But I say keep an eye out for Dusan Lajovic as well, because Dusan Lajovic is a bit of a crafty player. He had a really good result. He beat Hugo Humbert, underdog win for Dusan Lajovic. But that's enough about the Barcelona tournament that's going on right now. And I just want to go back because I didn't get to speak with you all about Monte Carlo, give you all of my thoughts. I was away in Amsterdam, just hanging out with Talon Griggs, Bohr. No, I wasn't really. I was just over there on a short weekend break with some friends. So I didn't get to see all of the tennis, but I did get to see some highlights. And there seemed to be a lot of stuff going on. And most of the stuff was to do with bad line calls. I know we had Tsitsipas win the whole thing in Monte Carlo, but I mean, Jannik Sinner, this match, it was the bad line call which changed the whole match, essentially. It was going to be a double break. I mean, Tsitsipas was already down a break in the final set, but it was going to be a double break. And it was so far out that I don't really understand how this keeps happening. And we've had other players complaining about it as well. The officiating, not great, I'd say, at Monte Carlo. And for a Masters, needs to be a lot better. And they don't ever seem to have an answer for it. They just seem everyone can make mistakes. So Jannik Sinner, he's happy to accept it. He said on the bad line call, everyone can make mistakes. I also can make mistakes. He said, no, it happened. You cannot do anything anymore. It's already the past. I mean, he seems very accepting in the whole thing. He said, it's tough to accept. It's tough. Tough one to swallow because I was playing some great tennis at this point. I was playing well. Tactically, everything went in the right direction. Everyone can make mistakes, unfortunately, or fortunately. You know, also, I can make mistakes. And it went like this. then after having cramps, it's a consequence of most likely this is what happened, because it also goes to the nervous side of the brain. And then after that, it's not easy to play. I tried my best still. Stefanos raised the level. But when the momentum changes, it goes like this. This is the fun part of tennis. He's under no illusions either. He knows how a momentum shift can happen in tennis matches. And that's why these line calls are so important. You've got people's livelihoods that are literally in the hands of lines people or in the hands of umpires who are making bad calls. And I'm the first person to call out for it on hard courts, grass courts. Get rid of the human error. Use technology. It saves all of the arguments. So I'm more than happy if they could find something to do it. And if they could do it on the clay, brilliant. Please find the technology. Let's fine tune it, because they say that the clay moves and you can't have it the exact thing. Well, let's try and get as close as possible, because
this episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Can't have tennis matches like this, such a pivotal one and massive really for Sinner as well. Got to realize this guy is on an incredible run right now, and this is sort of halted a bit of momentum, I'd say, because everybody was just umming and ahhing. Is he going to be good on the clay? This type of thing. My personal opinion, if he wins that match, he wins the tournament. No disrespect to Casper Ruud. He wins the tournament. The winner of the tournament was coming out of that semi-final, I believe, once Casper Ruud got there. I think Casper Ruud's brilliant, but I think he can get to a final. I just don't think he's great when he gets to the final against the top players. And he managed to get through his semi-final, but I don't think the final he would have been able to. And you saw it against Tsitsipas, he got absolutely battered. Unfortunately, I just don't think he has the power that the others possess. And I think that's where he lacks. He does better on maybe a slightly slower court with a bit more top spin and that type of thing. But yeah, when you're lacking the power and the pace on every single shot, you're always going to be behind in the rally. We got Tsitsipas's reaction as well to this. He said, the match would have been completely different if that ball was called out. It might have had a bigger influence on my opponent than it had on me. I was dealing with a breakdown at that moment. Of course, a double break wouldn't have made things easier for me. Just holding serve there was crucial. I think the match would have turned out completely different if that would have been called out. I will agree that it would have been pretty bad for me if that call was made. Yeah, definitely. There are a lot of weird things on clay that we don't see on other surfaces. One of them is the line calling and sometimes the marking. As someone that has played a lot on clay, I try to make the calls myself. I don't rely too much on umpires to do their job. Always, whenever I hit the ball that's close to the baseline or the sideline that I think might be out, I hit it and I just have a quick look before I continue the point. So I've learned this way. That's why I don't get in conversations or arguments with umpires, because I understand mistakes can happen. I try to rely entirely upon myself. That's what I grew up doing. Another good way to look at everything on a clay court in the past, in my opinion. Yeah, great that you're doing that. Yeah, I'd expect people to be doing that in amateur tennis. Yeah, not in, this is like high stakes Masters tennis We're not talking about just playing on a Sunday up the park with your mates or playing in a little amateur tournament down a clubhouse. This is a Masters semi-final. I mean, for me, I just think it's unacceptable. Let me know what you think in the comments section. Do you think it's acceptable? Because I for sure don't. And I need to, I like it when they sometimes come down, check the mark and all that. If there's a disagreement, go to some technology. Just quick. But if you've got the technology there, just use it anyway. It's the same thing on all the other services. I don't understand this whole like challenging. If you've got a challenge machine, then just use the technology, just call the line calls. I know everyone likes to clap. Yep. How about we just have the players actually get the rewards for if they're playing good tennis or not? That would be a better idea. And then maybe you'd see less player meltdowns on court. And speaking of player meltdowns, that's what this has been causing, as we know. And, well, I know that other people have been coming out speaking about some of the umpires and stuff. Holger Rune, not happy, especially with this from the ATP Tour, said, "May the force be with you, Jannik Sinner." And that was against Holger Rune, and who said, "Meaning what? Not that you gave me the best conditions in the first place, having to play two matches the day before, ending late, leaving almost no recovery time, the chair umpire making crucial mistakes and giving the wrong warning that disturbed the game. May the force be with you, Jesus Christ." I mean, he likes to complain, Holger Rune. But I think I'm sort of on his side a little bit on this one. I know that I sometimes throw him under the bus, but I'm not going to this time. I think it's warranted for him to be a bit disgruntled. And the ATP Tour, they're jumping on the Sinner bandwagon a little bit here. I quite like Holger Rune standing up for himself. Let me know what you think in the comments section. Do you think he's making a big to-do about nothing? Or do you think he's been a bit screwed over by having such a congested schedule, obviously, playing matches that get interrupted and have to continue. It's a very difficult one to schedule, but they could make it easier for the players, but it looks like Luna's got the raw end of the stick. I'm sure if it was someone like Djokovic, he probably would have got a better timing for his matches. But maybe you've got to build up to that, Holger. But anyway, we'll leave that where it is. I'm not going to harp on about Holger Rune because I want to get on to the next guy. And this guy, he's been making it more interesting again on the tennis court. And I'm glad to see we've got the real Daniil back again. I don't like to see the outburst, or do I? I do like it a little bit. But in the match with Gael Monfils in Monte Carlo, him just shouting at the umpire.
"How do I lose a game when it's out? It's out! It's out! Open your freaking eyes!"
I mean, I can't believe it. He's at it again. I mean, clearly two balls that just landed out. I mean, for me, I thought both were out. The second one was actually called out. The first one, I thought it was probably out as well, to be honest. And even says, go check your Hawkeye or whatever it is, your line calling machine. If it shows it out, this is what I mean. Like, why do we even have it on clay if they're not even going to use it? It doesn't even make sense to me to even have it. So Daniil, very hot and bothered. And happening to him again, it would seem, in his next match that he played against Kalen Khachanov as well. I mean, Khachanov, I mean, in this match, I believe he threw his racket at the back as well. I'm not sure what's going on. He's clearly fallen out of love with these clay courts again. And Daniil Medvedev, I still think he's a bit of a prime time player. I like watching him. I still feel like he's a bit hard done by with these calls. But it shouldn't be on him to have to argue. He nearly did a Rublev, didn't he? He went after the line judge saying, why is he not doing his job properly? And then the umpire had to calm him down and say, don't attack the line judge. It's just like, who else do you complain to? He had like the tournament organizer or the steward coming over to speak with him as well. But just get the call right. This is what I can't say it enough times. We're playing a professional sport. You can't get this many mistakes in a tournament. It just looks bad and something needs to change. But that's my personal opinion. Tell me what you think. Or do you like the clay the way it is? Keep it the way it is. We like the controversy. We like the outbursts. And we like players maybe losing matches that they shouldn't. But anyway, I'll move on from a bit of doom and gloom and move into something slightly more exciting, especially if you are British, because Emma Raducanu, she is back and back on the warpath. I love to see this. Beating Angelique Kerber 6-2, 6-1 in Stuttgart as well. Relentless aggression, gorgeous forehand winners, steely determination, and a joy to see Emma playing this type of tennis again. A third win of the season on clay, and she's exactly where she needs to be. Yeah, I mean, if you add this to the last two matches that she just played, and I'll just bring them up here. She just played in the Billie Jean King Cup, and this was against two French players in France as well. So, and she came back from a set down in both matches. I think she was a set and a break against Garcia as well. So she beat Garcia 3-6, 6-3, 6-2. And then Diane Parry as well, 4-6, 6-1, 7-6. And some of the shots she was pulling off, absolutely incredible. Backhands down the line, on the run, forehand, drive, volley. The serve was popping. Emma Raducanu is a great clay court player. I mean, I didn't really doubt it. I know that she had a good result in Stuttgart as well. When she was playing Iga, when Iga was on that incredible run, I think she only lost to her by one break a set, which at the time, everyone was getting breadsticks and bagels. And so Raducanu to be able to turn it around and only get a broken once in each set during that period, I think that was telling. And now she's had these surgeries. Now she's looking more confident. We had the Indian Wells, two wins. She beat Masalova, Yastremska. There was a retirement, but she was four love up. And then Sabalenka, quite a close match, 6-3, 7-5, against somebody who just won the Australian Open. So, I mean, where else do we go from here? I mean, after that, from strength to strength, isn't it? Just absolutely brilliant. I actually really like her chances on clay. I don't know what it is. I mean, looking at the draw, it's not great because she's playing Noskova next. But Noskova is somebody I believe that she beat on clay before. I think it was at Roland Garros. But if she beats her, then she'd probably have to play Iga next. So this is a good barometer of where Emma Raducanu's tennis is at. If she's able to beat Noskova, this is big for me because I think Noskova, she's overtaken Raducanu in the hype, really, of someone coming through on the tour. And now, if she beats Noskova, is she going to be ready for Iga? I mean, it's a big ask, a big step up, but she plays the way she's playing. She's beating some big players. Do not rule her out. That's all I can say. But, right, let's move on from Emma Raducanu and let's just move on to, just some questions that you've sent in, and I'll try and tackle these just before wrapping up.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
So I put out a post. So it'd just be good to just see what questions that you've been asking. And we got Jonathan Parker here. I'll go through this one first. And this one was saying, how serious do you think the injury that Carlos Alcaraz has? Don't see him playing Barcelona. Think he'll recover to play Madrid, bearing in mind he's defending 1,500 points in both tournaments combined. Yeah, really good point. He is defending a lot. And, well, he loses the Barcelona points. The Madrid one, I'm expecting to see him back for it. I'm quite worried for him at the moment, especially with this injury the way it is. I'm hoping that we're going to get to see Alcaraz definitely back for Rome. But there's just, it's a lot of uncertainty at the moment. This is the problem. It's this forearm injury that there's just... It's like a lingering right forearm issue, apparently. It said he's prepared to sit out the second Clay Court Masters of 2024 if it isn't completely healed. He said, let's have a look here. My feeling isn't right, but it is what it is. Now I'm fully focused on recovery. Yeah, that's just the way it is right now for Carlos Alcaraz. I hope he does get better. I don't want him to play Madrid if it's going to risk him ruining his Roland Garros chances. So hopefully we get to see him in Rome, I would say. Maybe take it easy, see how you go in Madrid. Right. Moving down, we've got Victor here saying, what tournaments have you both been to and which are your favourites and why? Myself personally, I've been to Wimbledon many times, as I'm sure you'd probably be aware. Not been to many other tournaments, to be honest. Being from the UK, I know that JG, he has been to the Tour Finals, and that was in the O2 in London. And we've both been to a few Challenger events. And they have been in other countries, though, in Croatia and in Portugal. But it would be good to get to a few different tennis events, maybe at the back end of this year, maybe the summer. We'll have to wait and see, but we'd love to go and bring you some coverage from some of the other events as well. Moving down, we've got Martin Kolev saying, do you guys think if Grigor wasn't in the big three generation, he would have won more? Yeah, I do. Yeah, I think he'd have, I'm not sure he'd have any Grand Slams, but I think he would definitely have a lot more Masters, that type of thing. I think he's a very, very solid player. But yeah, there's just part of me that just thinks that he's still lacking a little bit of something. Yeah, just a small smidge, and somebody else may have stepped up and just taken the crown. We'll go with some other people's questions as well, just so we don't get all the same people. And we've got MC Hayes Lover saying, do you think Rublev will win a 1,000 event on clay this season? No, I do not. Not the way he's playing right now. He's in terrible form. Andre Rublev lost to Nakashima in his last match. I mean, it's just going from bad to worst for Andre Rublev. Chin up, mate. Hopefully it all goes well in the next tournament. Let's have a look down, see which other questions we've got here. We've got Gary in saying, do you think Alcaraz should be considered the favourite at all clay events he enters, considering it's the surface that suits his game with all this variety he has? Or do you think Sinner's incredible current form makes him the favourite? I think if Alcaraz is fully fit, then Alcaraz is favourite. That's my personal opinion. But at the moment, he's not fully fit. So I would make Sinner a favourite. Tough to really see. I mean, the way it's going at the moment, is Stefanos Tsitsipas, is he going to be a real big favourite as well? Have to wait and see how the bookies have that one. But if Tsitsipas continues his good form, the odds could shorten dramatically come Roland Garros. We don't need to answer this one. When will we see Rafa? We just saw him. But yeah, I think that's it. So I'm just going to wrap it up there. Thanks for joining for this episode. Sorry that it was just myself on my own, but JG will be back for the next one. So make sure, hit a like, subscribe, and join us for more tennis action coming up all this week.
Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.